Teaching ELL students is a privilege and a joy. Is it easy? No way. But with the right support, you can feel empowered to tackle each day with ease and confidence. I'm your host, Beth Boucher, founder of Inspiring Young Learners. With over 10 years of teaching both nationally and internationally, I know what it takes to ensure that your ELL students have what they need to thrive today, tomorrow, and for life. I'm on a mission to empower you to equip your English language learners. Welcome to Equipping ELLs. Let's get to today's episode. Hey, hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Equipping ELLs podcast. I'm your host, Beth Boucher, and today's episode was actually inspired by something that happened to me recently during a PD session I was leading for school. I was working with a group of teachers, all different content areas, some ELL specialists and some homeroom teachers. And at some point, a middle school math teacher raised her hand and said something that stopped me in my tracks. She said, "I know I'm not supposed to let my students translate everything. I know I'm not supposed to do that for them. But honestly, it's what I need to do right now so they can actually comprehend the grade level math I'm teaching them. Is that bad? Is that wrong?" I just want to say, I love that question because it's a question that many of us are struggling with, especially when you get into those middle school, high school years where you're that grade level content teacher and you need those students to understand those very complex grade level content, but they're still learning English, right? She wants to do the right thing, but she's also caught between two things that both felt true and at the same time, right? Her students need to learn English and her students need to access eighth grade math. And so right now, that translation piece is the bridge that she's using to do that. Today, I wanted to do a quick episode about this and take this question seriously, because this is a conversation I see happening a lot on Facebook, on Instagram, in conversations that we're having with members inside Equipping ELLs. I want to honor what that teacher was really asking and then actually answer it. So not with a blanket, stop using Google Translate, but with a real framework for being intentional about when translation helps and when it quietly starts to hold your students back. We're going to talk about what research says, and then we're going to get into really practical things about what this looks like in both the elementary and secondary settings, because I know that there's a big difference between an elementary setting and using translation and secondary. So let's get into it. So first, I want to validate something. That math teacher that I was talking with, she wasn't wrong. Now, I know that many of you have heard of Jim Cummins, and you know that his short version of his concept that he's done many, many years of research on, in the concepts that students learn in their home language transfers to English, right? So if a student understands linear equations in Spanish, that conceptual understanding doesn't disappear when you ask them to work in English. The math is already there. The language is what we're building in that moment. And there's something else that's worth knowing. When a student is trying to process brand new content and new language at the same time, the cognitive load is enormous. It's like being asked to sprint while learning how to walk, right? That's essentially what we're asking our students to do. So allowing some home language support really can help reduce that load and keep the student in the learning instead of shutting down entirely. Oh, to that math teacher, yes, for a newcomer trying to understand what a variable is while simultaneously trying to decode academic English, home language support isn't cheating here. It's smart scaffolding. It's really purposeful. But here's where it gets a bit more complicated. When students are using Google Translate for everything, every sentence, every paragraph, every written response, they're not actually doing the language work. They're outsourcing it. And language acquisition requires productive struggle. It requires the brain to wrestle with words and structures and meaning in English. So when a student translates first and reads the English second, they skip the struggle entirely. So here's the reframe that I really want you to hold on to. That it's not about whether students use their home language. It's about whether we're being intentional about when and how. Intentionality, that's really what matters here, okay? The difference between a scaffold and a crutch is whether the support is temporary and strategic or permanent and unexamined. And that right there is what the math teacher was really asking about. So let's unpack that. Let's get practical here. And like I said, I want to speak to two different groups here because context matters a lot with this topic. So if you're in an elementary setting, instead of open-ended Google Translate access, try bilingual picture dictionaries or bilingual word walls. These help give your students a visual anchor and a home language connection. Okay, it helps them feel welcomed and safe in your classroom. It helps them see that they don't have to leave their language at home, that it's part of the classroom. But at the same time that you're doing that, you're also building vocabulary knowledge and not bypassing English production. That's really important here. What I've also seen is at that younger level, I tended to use language as something that helped our students feel seen and heard and understood and accepted and welcomed. But at the same time, those students are sponges, that they really pick up language fast. So you don't need to use their native language a lot because that transferability skill that we were talking about, if they're not that strong yet in their native language because they're young, because they're little, then we're not going to rely on that as much for our elementary students. We're going to just really focus in building up their language in English. Okay, so with our elementary students, we're going to be building up their English over transferring from their home language. The importance of the home language for these students, again, is just to help them see that this is a gift, that this is something they bring to our classroom, that it's accepted here and welcomed here. But we're not going to rely on that for the transferring. Another strategy I love is called preview review. And here, before your lesson, you're going to preview that key vocabulary and core concepts in the student's home language. So then you can teach the lesson in English, and then after you're going to revisit the key ideas in the home language so that you can help consolidate that understanding. Okay, so this is where it's reducing the cognitive load without replacing English output. I also love doing this because then it gives your students an opportunity to learn words in other languages. I mean, think if you have 3-4 different languages in your classroom, maybe even more, think of throughout the year if you just introduce 6 vocabulary words before you do a lesson, and you have each of the students teach each other in other languages how you say that word. Imagine by the end of the year where your students are going to be, they're all going to be growing in vocabulary in a variety of languages. And it's something that, again, helps to show your students that who they are matters in your classroom. Sentence frames are also huge at the elementary level. So if a student has a frame to fill in, they don't need to translate it, right? We want to provide them with the sentence frame to get started and for them to then work on producing English with that structure. So instead of thinking about, okay, I'm going to translate this answer to, you know, and then write it in English, they're going to start with really working on outputting in English right away. And that sentence frame helps them to come up with the ideas, helps them to not have a blank slate to start from. All right, so now let's go back to our middle school math teacher for a second. Here's what I told her. I said, yes, use the language for them to understand what you're going to teach, but do it in a different way. I said, let your newcomers or your lower level language students watch a short video before you teach the lesson explaining the math concept in their home language first. I mean, the tools we have available now is really incredible. Things like Khan Academy, you know, that has content in multiple languages. YouTube has math explanations in Spanish, Arabic, Somali, you name it. They're out there. So how can we use those tools that are visual, that have in the native language, but that can be just reviewed in 5 minutes before you actually get to the lesson? That helps them build the conceptual foundation in the language where they can access it most easily. Do some front loading in that type of setting, in that type of way. Then teach the lesson in English still. They need that. They need to be taught in English, because what I told her is, if you are translating everything for them, but next year's teacher doesn't do that, they have lost a whole year of building the language of math. And they need that moving forward. And they need it by using it in lessons. So teach the lesson in English with those visual supports, the anchor charts, the sentence frames on how to communicate mathematically. There is a language to math, right? So we need to incorporate that in our lessons. The goal is that by the time you ask them to demonstrate understanding, they're doing it in English, even if the concept was first understood in their home language. This is not a crutch. That is an example of differentiated, researched back instruction. So the problem isn't the home language support at the input stage. The problem is when translation replaces English production at the output stage. So that's what we really want to be mindful of and intentional about doing or not doing. So for secondary, the 50-50 rule works really well here. Students can use their home language for brainstorming and planning, getting ideas out, organizing their thinking. If you have looked into translanguaging at all, it is an incredible, powerful way to bring in the home language in a way that's really intentional. I'm not going to go into that. And this one, we have previous episodes about translanguaging. You can also check out online. There's different people who are really experts in translanguaging. But if that's something you are thinking about looking at, start to go into translanguaging, because that's essentially this. You're going to give them that opportunity to brainstorm, to plan, get ideas out. But the output, the final written product, is going to be in English. So this helps to respect the cognitive process while still demanding that English production, right? Still having that expectation that the output is going to be in English. That's a really powerful tool for your students to be able to do it in both languages. And you're going to see growth happen when you create that space for it to happen that way. Another one that really works well is English first, Czech second. Okay, so this is where students are going to attempt the task in English first. They write what they can. They really give it a try. We want them to do that processing that needs to happen in the brain. Then and only then can they use a bilingual resource or translation device to check or refine. This actually really helps when you're learning a new language. I know many times here when I have to speak another language, I will work on writing it first because I want to see, okay, well, how would I say this from what I know? And then I go and I check the translation, because a lot of times the verb, that's a better way to use the verb. And because I've already written it once, I'm able to then really learn from my mistakes and learn what, because of what translation has given me. So this is a really powerful way to help your students kind of correct what they've already done independently, but to also push them to do things first in English. And we really want to not make this a thing that says English only, we're only speaking English here. That's not what this is about. It's really just about giving that space to use their brains to process and push themselves in English. Now, here's some questions that I want you to ask yourself before you allow or limit translation in any given task, okay? Here's a framework for you, because there's a lot of different ways that we can say yes or no to when we want to use this. So a framework does really help us have more clarity in making those decisions. So the first question is this a comprehension task or a production task? So is it, when I say comprehensions, that falls into the categories of things like reading, listening, understanding directions, watching a video, taking in new information? Home language support can be appropriate here. Our goal is for them to access the content. So that's what our math teacher was navigating, right? She needed them to access the content. That's an appropriate time to use their native language if they have that skill to transfer. So find a way you can let them do that. Sometimes it might help to have them listen to a passage first, even if it's in English, but maybe at a slower rate, or listen to that first in their native language before you read it. Videos, all of that types of things, directions. We want to remove that cognitive heaviness. So we want to take that away by giving it to them in their native language first, if that works. Again, it's not all the time. You want to use it intentionally. So is it a comprehension task or is it a production task? Production, writing, speaking, demonstrating what they know in English. This is where we push for English output. Our goal here has to be to build the skill. We need them to produce in English because that's why they're in our classrooms for. And again, going back to, you might provide translation in everything, or maybe you speak their native language, so it's easy for you to just speak to them in their native language. But the teacher next year might not do that. So now they're not advancing like they could if you just use it more intentionally and not all the time. Second question, is the student stuck on the language or stuck on the concept? These are two completely different problems, but a lot of times I see that we put them together. So we want to get very clear about this. If a student doesn't understand the math concept, they don't understand what slope means, for example, home language clarification can help them access the content. So do it. See if that helps them to understand the concept. If they understand the concept and they're avoiding the language work, that's where Google Translate becomes a ceiling, not a scaffold. So this is where we want to be very clear when we're being intentional about how we use translation. Is it a language thing or is it a concept thing? And then question three, does this support have an exit plan? Good scaffolding phases out. It's not permanent. It's meant to be there to support and then to be phased out. That's what makes it scaffolding. If a student has used the same translation support for 6 months with no change in their English independence, it's no longer helping them grow. So ask yourself, what does the next level of independence look like for the student? What's the step after this support? Because we don't want to keep them in these scaffolds that are not serving them anymore. It's a really important thing. We want to keep moving them forward. We want to keep pulling back the scaffolds, adding in new ones, and helping them grow on their language journey. So those three questions, comprehension or production, language or concept, and does this have an exit plan? Think about those as you are approaching your lessons and your students to figure out, when is this a good time to be intentional in using their home language and when is it not? Because the last thing we want is for you to feel like you need to translate everything, because that burns you out and that is not what your students need. I hope that today's episode was helpful. We have put together a little translation chart and some tips and tricks that go a little bit beyond today's episode. So we would love to share that with you. Something you can share with your co-teachers, because I know it's a lot of those conversations that are happening in those team meetings, and there's a lot of different opinions on this. So I hope today's episode cleared that up. We would love for you to grab that translation chart and advice and tips and tricks so that you can use that in your classroom today. So DM us over on Equipping ELL's Instagram with the word translate, and we will send it right over to you. Go ahead and feel free to share that with fellow teachers and help them to also know and take that burden off your shoulders that you do not need to translate everything. Be intentional, be purposeful, and that's where your students will have success. So here's the one sentence version of everything we talked about today. It's this: home language support is a powerful ELL classroom strategy when it's intentional, strategic, and temporary. Not a default we leave on indefinitely. So to that math teacher who raised her hand, you were asking exactly the right question. The fact that you were even wrestling with it tells me you're the kind of teacher your students are lucky to have. And next week, we're going to be talking about this feeling that you're feeling behind and that everyone else has it figured out. And that ELL teaching is just harder than it should be. It's not. And next Friday, I'm going to tell you exactly why. So until then, keep going because your students are really lucky to have you. Remember to DM us on Instagram with the word translate for our translation chart and guide. See you next week.